It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And this is a weird time for it, since it's warm, am experimenting with becoming a regular tea drinker.
Oh.
At least, like, at work.
Like caffeinated tea?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't, not necessarily.
Okay.
But that's what I have been drinking most recently.
I mean, technically
if I was going to drink it in the afternoon, I might go with a decaf.
I mean, technically that is tea.
Yes, yes. But herbal infusions as well.
Yeah.
I like a good chamomile or something like that. It's available at work. And sometimes, weirdly, although I'm not normally a hot beverage person, sometimes I feel like that, but I'm like, coffee's a little intense right now. Mm-hmm. So I'll do tea. But I've discovered, I mean, growing up, I had tea, and I was never that into it. And I've discovered there is something magical about sweetening it, or in my case, you know, it's artificial sweetener, and putting milk or cream or something in it. Like, that very much changes it for me, and then it's, like, a really nice thing. And I'm slowly discovering it might be one of those just generic mood elevators for me, like listening to music that, like, just puts me in a better mood.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about it, I have been the last few days, and I ordered a thing to set the tea bag on, because you need to let it steep for a while, and so I take it back to my desk, but I don't have anywhere to throw it away at my desk, so I'm trying to get it back into the little bag. It's hard to do, so. Yeah. No, I had nothing interesting to do the opening with, so that was what I came up with.
So if you don't have regular tea and you have an herbal thing, what?
Yes.
You said chamomile. What else do you
have? Chamomile is a very good relaxing one.
It works on you that way, relaxing you?
I find, yeah. Well, especially it's a good digestive.
Oh, okay.
I have found it's very common.
I mean, it's said to have that effect, but it doesn't have on everybody.
I perceive it as such. It absolutely could be placebo. I have no idea.
Well, that's good enough.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
I always think, like, hey, if it tricks me into thinking it works, it still works, really.
There's a variety of ones. A friend of mine is really ticked right now because they switched brands recently, and they have a peppermint tea, and it's not caffeine-free. And she's like, and the company makes a caffeine-free peppermint tea. So for some reason, they just went with the caffeinated one. And she drinks tea, like, all the time, so she doesn't want the caffeine most of the time. It's really funny. Growing up, I knew this was a thing. I remember, because my mother would drink it. Constant Comment.
I don't know what that is.
It's like a famous kind of tea. Like, this company, apparently. This is their
famous
thing.
Brand?
Yeah, well, it's a famous flavor of a brand, I guess.
Okay.
But as I just remember, my mom would always talk about drinking Constant Comment, and I saw it, and so I had some. And it's a proprietary blend that's like black tea with like orange spice in it and something. It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been drinking a lot of that the last few days. It's really nice. I frequently just like my tea normal. It's a little weird putting like sugar and milk in chamomile. It always seems a little odd to me, but I drink it. I like it that way. I don't know what the magic of the dairy is that suddenly makes it better for me. And it's funny that, I would discover it just as summer's about to show up. So
when you were living in England, that didn't become a thing?
No. But when I was younger, in my hometown, we had an honest-to-goodness English tea house. And there I would do that. We would go for, like, lunch or something, and I would have tea. And there I would put milk and sugar in it because that was what, you know, came with the thing. And I was trying to do all the bits. I've been talking with Stu a lot lately. And he's like, there's a ritual component to it that's very big. You know, you just, how you make your tea is a process, and you do it sort of the same every time.
Now, a tea, though, it's really considered a snack, right? Like a brief meal. It's not just tea, is it?
Well, okay. Tea is a drink.
Yes, I know that, but I mean,
there is a thing Brits call tea.
Yeah.
Which honestly is pretty much like us saying dinner.
Oh, okay.
They have it about 5 o'clock, and it's usually their last meal of the day. They might eat something, or at least traditionally. I don't know that that's continuing as much now, but that's frequently how it's referred. That's sort of the afternoon evening meal. There is a thing also called tea or high tea or cream tea or whatever. That is when you go to a tea house and you have, like, they give you tea and also little cakes, little sandwiches, things like that.
Yeah.
And that's considered more of a fancy thing. And I think of that as like a touristy thing. Like that's what we would do when we would go to this little tea house and like at hotels and things like that. But I don't think it's one of those things that most people do. It's kind of like the full English breakfast,
mm-hmm.
which is really tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I would eat it when I was in England and we were hiking somewhere, and I was like, I could feel it all because it's huge and it's fried. So like, there's bacon, there's sausage, there's baked beans, there's fried toast, there's eggs, there's stewed tomatoes, there's fried mushrooms, like ton of stuff in this. And it's just like sitting in my gut as I'm trying to hike up this mountain. And I ran into other tourists and they're like, yeah, real Brits only have that when they're on holiday. They're like, for most of us, it's just tea and toast in the morning and that's it. And so that we can actually do things.
When did that become a thing for Brits, tea, like having it several times a day in the morning?
I don't know, but I'm really envious. And this is the thing I've been talking about with Stu and with Trisha a little bit recently. It is a universal social move. Offering tea to a British person, offering tea to another person, is like a bonobo offering sex. It's every circumstance. So, like, if somebody pops by for a visit, offer them tea. If someone's had a really good day, great, let me get you a cup of tea. If somebody's had a bad time, and the thing is, it can work instead of needing to have words.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a joke in a lot of British things. It's like, someone will say some terrible dramatic thing, there'll be this uncomfortable pause, and someone will say, should I put a kettle on then? You
know? And it works.
Yeah.
It is a real thing.
Yeah.
In fact, Stu has this great comic on his wall that just says anarchy in the UK, and the person says, would you like a cup of tea? And the other person says, no. That's the whole thing. And Trish was noting, it's in the UK, they have much more of a sense of class than we do here. I don't mean like they're classy, but like
stratification.
Yes, social class is their version of our race issues.
Sure.
But this is something that breaks that.
Mm.
Like, that's something you share. And Trish was watching a show that was a British show, and there were these two characters that were from very different social strata that had sort of been shoved into similar situations. And there was a lot of tension because they're sort of not supposed to talk to each other and they have nothing to talk about. And then there's this scene where some big tragedy happens and it's almost a relief for the upper class woman because she knows what she can do now and she can offer this woman tea and it's considered acceptable.
But it's not just England. I mean, like in all of the English colonies, I mean, like,
well, but
in
you
Australia,
have to remember,
it's a little like that.
All of the former colonies of the Brits and all the Commonwealth and everything that are just places that the Brits tried to beat into being British.
Sure.
And so those trends that are left are just what they couldn't wash away.
But we don't know when it started, because obviously they didn't always have tea. I mean, this wasn't always
a custom. No. They went and found it someplace.
Yeah. And then it just became a thing.
I don't know where probably somewhere in the Far East.
And it spread virtually everywhere. I mean, even...
Yeah, because, I mean, there's a lot of different cultural things involving tea. Japan,
sure,
China,
sure.
Stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
They have their own things, right?
But also very elaborate social things involved
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, I just like it. It's good stuff.
Hmm.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tea Time. the only golfing podcast... No. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is to the world of podcasting what famous physicist Niels Bohr was to the world of podcasting.
Yeah, that's an apt
comparison. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 427.
427.
Yeah.
That is an awkward number.
Is it?
Is it prime? I don't even know.
I don't know.
It just—it doesn't feel like it would do anything. It doesn't feel like it's something that comes up in day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Apparently, the largest number, the largest lucky number, is 110. Somebody did a survey.
Of lucky numbers?
Yes.
And that was the largest, that was the highest someone would go?
Yes. That was the largest anybody in the thing went. And apparently the most popular lucky number is 7.
Oh. That's not too surprising.
This is the shit I got from QI. So it's slightly more likely than Wikipedia, but slightly less likely than, I don't know, just like already knowing facts. Somewhere in between there. It's a show. There was actually a thing on a QI, because I still have BritBox, so I'm watching a bunch of that. And there was a thing on a QI episode where they ask something. Because, you know, so on QI, the whole point is you're supposed to, the answers are more interesting than you think they are. And the answers you think ones are boring and often wrong. And so there's a recurring panelist, Alan Davis, and he's, in some ways, he's sort of the whipping boy. He frequently gets stuff wrong, and sometimes will even, like, work at it. But if you get something really wrong, there's a big klaxon noise, and the answer you gave flashes on the screen, and you lose points.
Oh.
And as the years have gone on, they sort of, like, try and trick you sometimes, and things like that. And they'll have, like, the same question in different series because of this. But they had this thing on one I was watching recently, and he answered, and it was wrong, and it had the klaxon and everything. He says, no, it's true. As they're doing, he's like, it really is. He's like, I know it's true. We've already done this on the show. I learned this fact on this show. And it was pretty BS. Trish gets mad about it because this one was name a cold-blooded animal, and he said lizard. Mm-hmm. And the whole bit was apparently they've discovered a warm-blooded lizard.
Oh.
But I'm like, it's still true. Like, there's still... But he was like, yes, they are. I learned. Come on. I learned it on this show. Why did I bring that up? I don't remember why I brought that up.
I don't know.
Good times. For those of you just joining us, here's how the show works on paper. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, cool people, nice people. People who can type. Write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. It's economical servants... draw those note cards out of the hat, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show. Except the parts that aren't, which is most of it.
Yep.
I forgot that bit. Feels like it's been longer than a week since we did this.
It does.
I don't know why that is.
I thought that too before I came
on. It's been a very long week.
Seems like it has been, yeah.
My wife has been gone. That could have something to do with it.
Mm.
That's what I don't like about this week. On paper, this has been a very good week. On paper, it's been awesome. I've been sleeping well. I've gone to the gym every day. I have been very productive and successful at work. In fact, I'm learning Python coding, and I aced the assignment for the first module. It's awesome. Mm. Doing all sorts of stuff there. At home, I am not eating like a crazy person, which often happens when she's gone. I am writing a lot. I've been getting a bunch of writing done.
Very good.
All of it's great. I have just been kind of depressed all week. And the only thing I can think of is I miss my wife. I don't know if that's what... Like, that's not... I can't... Don't know that that's what it is. That's just the thing that... The only thing that comes to mind. It's just weird because I'm like, and this is even a thing. Productivity is frequently tied to my attitude. When I feel like I'm not being productive, I get sadder. Mm-hmm. And when I feel like I am productive, I feel better. Mm-hmm. I feel better about myself. Mm-hmm. So I should feel great this week. But I've been on, I don't know why. It's very weird.
Well, I think if my wife were gone for an extended period of time, the thing is, I might actually get more done with her gone there.
I have that.
And that's great, but it's not as good as having her there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's just
I'm getting more done because I'm not doing things with her.
Yeah, it's not a replacement. It's fine and it's good, but it's like, yeah, but I'd rather her be, I mean, yeah. For me, it would be a situation where there'd constantly be things happening where my impulse would be to say something to her or tell her about it. Oh, wait, she's not here.
Yeah.
And I'm probably not going to remember to tell her later. So it's like, we're just not going to have that conversation. And that's that. And that would just probably.
Sometimes you can text.
Well, that's true.
Trish and I do that a lot.
That's kind of that's
no,
a new
but
thing
the thing
for
is,
me.
I've done this for a while. And this is, I don't know what this is this time. Like, I always miss her and I'm sad that she's gone or whatever. Sure. But I don't know this time. It's weird. But yeah, I am making a lot of progress with the book. Adding in bits. I got through the really hard chunk before, and now I'm coming up on another hard chunk. It's mostly hard chunks at this point
in
the book.
Yeah.
But I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
That's good.
Still love the cord cutting. That's still awesome. Having no TV.
Oh, yeah.
Hulu's still really cool. Watching a lot of TV, watching a lot of movies. Saw Valerian and the Thousand Planets.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it sucked.
Oh, yeah, it did.
It really did, like, surprisingly so. And I don't even mean, like, it's a functional movie. And people perform adequately in it. And, like, the sentences make sense.
Did we already talk about this? Because
you and I talked a little bit after we finished recording. But also, I hadn't finished the movie, I think, because I was watching it at the
gym. That's
right,
you're watching it at the gym, yeah.
Yeah, my big thing is that the leads, I don't even want to say, they acted fine. They had zero chemistry. Their characters didn't make any sense and they seemed like they were 12 and the movie had to live off of those characters cause there was very little plot. Yeah. And I just didn't buy it. I would actively say, despite the fact that there are some really impressive special effects, I would actively discourage people from seeing it. It's free on Amazon Prime right now. I would discourage you from seeing it. But I did see a different movie that came out the day after we recorded on Netflix. Wine Country.
I didn't know that was going to be on Netflix.
Yep. Amy Poehler's directorial debut, I think.
That's what I've heard.
And starring her and Tina Fey and Anna Gasteyer and Rachel Drash and Paul Appel and Emily Spivey and I feel like I'm missing somebody. Jason Schwartzman. Trish thought it was okay. Like, she thought it was fine. Which she noted was funny because it is clearly made for her. It is a milestone movie for women in their late 40s. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very much set up. The whole premise is one of them is turning 50, and so all the girlfriends get together in a rental house in Sonoma.
Gotcha.
And meanwhile, it's super not for me. And I absolutely loved it.
Oh, you did?
It was a perfect combination of the part of me that loved The Big Chill and the part of me that loved Golden Girls.
Oh.
And it just came together.
Huh.
No, I adored it. It's not altering my life or anything, but it was super entertaining. Everybody did a great job. They played perfectly off each other. Jason Schwartzman was attractive, which I'm still very confused about. I have absolutely never found Jason Schwartzman to be attractive, ever. But in this movie, he has quite a big beard, and for some reason, that just transformed him. I thought he was hot as hell in this movie. Okay. It was shocking because, I mean, I've known him for decades. Lots and lots of movies. He's very prolific. Not attractive. Unattractive, I would say.
I haven't seen him in a film for years, though.
Are you not watching anything Wes Anderson does?
Really? Has he been in all the Wes Anderson
Almost,
movies?
I think. I'm not willing to commit to everyone. We were just talking about I Heart Huckabees the other day.
Yeah, he was in that. Right, but I mean, I haven't... he wasn't in the... What was the most recent one? The Budapest Hotel or whatever? Grand Budapest?
See, I want to say he was hiding in there somewhere.
Well, he might,
I think he had a smaller part.
Maybe he was. Maybe he was.
But he just doesn't do it for me. Actively. I find him unattractive. But something... It was just him, but he had this beard, and somehow I was like, wow. So apparently it's his chin I don't like, I guess. And now it was hiding. It was really fun. Paula Pell's in this, and not a lot of people will necessarily know her. She is a long, long time writer on SNL.
Yeah.
And mostly didn't act, just wrote.
Okay.
But she would be in little parts occasionally when they would need somebody. In fact, the most common thing is if it was one of those host monologues where they were like taking questions from the audience,
she was
frequently an audience member.
Yeah.
But she's freaking hilarious. Mm. And in this, she's amazing, and it feels very breakout female comic kind of. It reminded me very much of Melissa McCarthy in Bridesmaids. It had that feel to me. I'm like, this is awesome, and this I want this to propel her into things. But I mean, they're all buds, and so it's just really fun. They all have great chemistry because they've known each other so long.
Sure.
I'm happy to see Anna Gasteyer again. I haven't seen her in ages, and I love her. I didn't watch Suburbia or whatever. She had a sitcom for a little while.
For a few
seasons and stuff, and I didn't watch that, but I loved her on SNL. I loved her. She was the person who played the Wicked Witch in Wicked, the touring version I saw.
Oh.
And she did an amazing job there. I love her. So it was fun to see her again. It was the most serious acting role I have ever seen Rachel Dratch do, which is a low bar. And I don't want to set things too high. It wasn't exactly Oscar bait or anything. But it was more involved than I've ever seen her do. Yeah, I just really enjoy it. It's just fun. And it's on Netflix, people, so just go watch it. It's fun. I'm playing Final Fantasy XII. I don't know why.
Okay, you've played it before?
I played half of it. When it originally came out, it was the last one that came out on the PlayStation 2.
Oh.
And I played half of it and sort of got to a point where things had been moving in the plot, and then it sort of just paused. And so I was like, maybe I won't play so much for the next few days, and then I just never got back to it.
Mm.
But I always thought I really liked it and wanted to get back to it. And then they remastered it a while back and altered some things that they thought would work better, and in a couple places did things that they made it less tedious.
Okay.
Less grinding and that kind of thing. And I don't know why, but on Sunday I just went and got it and started playing it. And I forgot that the first part of it is really annoying. They spend a lot of time not giving you free rein over the abilities and stuff. They're still teaching you things, and it takes a while. And you've only got one dude, and he's an annoying dude, and so I get tired of this. I don't know why I'm playing it and why I'm playing it now. I'm not supposed to be playing video games, and if I am playing video games, this is not the one I should be. What is happening? But there we are, all the same. Also saw Slumber Party Massacre and Slumber Party Massacre 2.
Okay.
These are famous.
Sure.
These were, I find this very odd now. Slumber Party Massacre was considered a very big female empowering thing.
Sure.
Because it was a different take on the slasher genre.
Okay.
And the main thing is it was written and directed by a woman, I think, was part of it.
Okay.
But it was also just supposed to be more empowering. And no, I mean... There's still four separate scenes where the entire purpose of the scene is just for the camera to watch girls get undressed. I guess it's empowering in that it's almost entirely women, and so they're more active. There's more agency. They're the ones, like, investigating things and getting murdered instead of just sitting around and getting murdered.
Sure.
But, like, I was like, I mean, it was 82, and I was like, no, this is just a slasher. It's a decent slasher, but it's not. And then the second one was 5 years later, and holy shit, that was weird. First of all, the little 12-year-old from the first movie grew up and now is being played by Crystal Bernard, possibly best known for playing the female lead in the TV show Wings. And it's her as a little 80s teenager. And the entire movie might be a hallucination? I don't know. It has nothing to do with the first one except that she is the kid from the first one. And she just hallucinates this unrelated killer who actually eventually kills everyone, but then maybe it was a dream, but then at the end maybe it, like, we never explain why this person exists. He's some sort of rock dude with an electric guitar that has a drill on the end.
Okay.
Because in the first movie, the bad guy killed everybody with a drill.
Okay.
But not an electric guitar. And he's definitely, like, magic. He can just, like, show up places and things.
Okay.
And it's just like, yeah, she's hallucinating it, and then she stops hallucinating, and it's just, like, real now. But then at the end it wasn't, but maybe... I'm like, I don't even know what the point of this movie was. So that one you should only watch to see 80s teenage Crystal Bernard, which is a weird thing to see, but first one much better. Wow, my life sounds sad when I say things out loud. How about you? How's your week been?
We finally played that Remains of Whatchamacallit.
Oh, what, Remains of Edith Finch?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I think I didn't get it.
I mean, it's mostly just supposed to be atmospheric.
Sure, but, I mean, it's fine. It was very short.
Yeah, no, it's not very long.
The little pieces were pretty cool. Like the little, you know, when you went back in time and you were
looking, yeah, yeah, yeah,
all that stuff was neat. The overall connecting part was not to me.
Well, it was very theoretical. That's the thing. It's about this house and this family that sort of thinks they're cursed, and it may or may not be true, and you never really get an answer to that.
Well, they're definitely all crazy.
I mean, yeah, 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 no, definitely that. And I found that a little bit sad, because I wanted the closure of, like, is this a thing? What is it? But it's like, we don't know. This is just...
Well, they're also not and it's smart.
No, and it's not... there's definitely no challenge to the game. There's not, like, puzzles. I mean, there are ones, but not anything that's, like, supposed to be challenging. It's the video equivalent of a character study, I think.
I guess. But the main narrative and arc was predictable and boring and not very well acted or not very well written. But the little breaks where you went into someone else's experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the one.
Yeah, I don't even remember the framework around it.
The like one where you were the little girl for a while was fantastic.
That one really confused me. It was really cool, but I was like,
it was really neat.
What is happening?
It made me wonder, so do holly berries make a person hallucinate before they die or what? But anyway. Then the one with the guy that worked in the cannery was really good.
That really one was well just technically
yeah, yeah.
Really impressive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You go through this whole weird dream sequence that shows up like a hallucination that would show up for the person who was having this thing in it.
It was really well done.
Yeah.
Most of them, I mean, some of them weren't very involved, so and they were fine. But the ones that where they really took their time and they told a long, interesting story, it was like, this was really neat what you did here. And it was almost kind of disappointed to go back to the main narrative.
I was just, that was, to me, was just go find the next story. Yeah, no, that the overarching narrative was completely forgettable and self-explanatory, I think. Yeah, it was mostly just about checking out the other ones.
And they were all pretty interesting.
It
was like, it felt like they had different people had were in charge of different bits
yeah.
of it, and then they tried to build something around it to stitch it all together. And the individual bits were good, but the stitched together bit was, I didn't get it. I didn't know if that was supposed to mean something. And so I probably put too much emphasis on that part of it. But I really did enjoy the little vignettes. I thought they were really, really good.
Okay, now you got to do Everybody's Gone to the Rapture.
Oh, yeah.
Which is much more straightforward in terms of the point is to find out what happened. And you genuinely don't know what happened. And then you
I think
find
we only played it, though, because this one, because it was free.
Everybody's Gone to the Rapture should have been, if you were, well, are you a PlayStation Plus member?
Yeah.
It should have been a while back. Might have it.
Maybe. I'll have to look.
Because, yeah, I don't think I paid for it. Yeah, that was actually the weird thing. This was the first month ever where the free games from PlayStation Plus were both ones I already owned.
Mm.
I was like, man.
Seems like we've seen some movies, too, but they were terrible, so I don't really want to talk about them. And Game of Thrones ends this weekend.
Yes, and there are already 400,000 signatures on the petition to make HBO redo the last season.
The whole last season?
Because they did it wrong, yes.
The last episode is the lowest rated on Rotten Tomatoes ever. I mean, it's like 40. I mean, it's really low.
There was a twist. That to some people was not much of a twist. Some people were like, this should have been obvious. But to a lot of other people, it was a twist and was very disappointing.
I see. Okay. It was obvious that it was going to happen.
Oh, was it just sort of awkward how they the timing on it? And
let's just say, I think it's more that people hoped it wasn't going to happen.
Oh, okay.
And for a couple reasons.
People pretended like they were shocked.
Well, and some people might have been, because some people, when they hope something...
dumb.
Well, no. When they hope something goes a certain way, they ignore all the evidence that it's not going to go that way.
But also, some people are dumb.
there were two... Aside from the people who obviously ignored all the signs, for people who didn't, they were disappointed in it for a couple reasons. One, they just didn't want a certain character to go a certain way.
Yeah, I was going to say, now tread this carefully because you don't want to spoil anything, but also in not spoiling anything, this isn't going to mean much to a lot of people.
I think people can relate to when you want a character arc to go a certain way and it doesn't, how disappointing that could be.
Really hoping Voldemort would win.
But other people, and I think this applies to my wife and me, was that we could see it coming from a mile away, but we still didn't want it to go that way.
Mm.
And in part for her, because she just wanted the character to be something different. For me, I didn't care where the character went, but I could see where it was going, but it was going that way in a very clumsy way, if that makes any sense.
Mm.
Like, they didn't set up six whole seasons of this character getting this place.
Mm.
It was like they decided when the season began, the character was going to get to that place. And so things was kind of shoehorned in. It wasn't all in one episode, but all of the episodes that led up to it was like, you guys are taking a really sharp
turn. That's why they want to rewrite this season.
Yeah.
Although it's funny because some people went so far as to look at like most of the fan theories out there and turn it into an actual season. Like, what that would look like, and apparently it's just trash.
Oh, yeah, probably. But one person said it says this season is like Last Jedi for people who are huge Luke Skywalker fans and who thought Luke Skywalker's ending should have been a certain way.
And there was a petition for that, too. All right. In that case, I clearly understand and think those people are stupid and suck.
What people? The people that... don't like where the...
Well, the freaking people who freaked out about Last Jedi can kiss my ass.
Oh, okay.
So if these people are like them, they can also kiss my ass. But speaking of trash, have you been watching second season of Sabrina?
I did watch it, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm starting to get into this in, like, a hate-watchy way.
Oh, okay. Well,
this show is such trash, and it's kind of amazing. Like... they do not understand what feminism is, but also they do not understand what misogyny is, like, or at least what, like, institutionalized misogyny is. Their bad guy characters are just so ridiculously over the top, like, sexist for the sake of being like, it doesn't even make sense to me. And we've also, I believe, established now that Satan and his church are by definition misogynist,
yeah.
Which I'm like, that's a bold claim, I guess, especially from where you were starting. They also love to pick up and drop side plots willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
There is crap that they have never brought back that was kind of a big deal. There is crap that I thought they were never bringing back, and then they did and resolved it in, like, one episode with no lead-up. It is ridiculous. It is absolutely bonkers. It is like the sloppiest, most melodramatic soap opera I've seen in years. I'm getting into it, but it's so bad. Like, yeah, I don't know. We keep doing things that I'm like, that is a fascinating perspective to explore. You should give that to a different show. Somebody who can do that. The Miss Wardwell character has so many fascinating angles that they are totally not doing service to. Every once in a while, they have scenes where I'm like, oh my God, if you would expand on this, it would be, what? No. Okay, fine. We're going to go do that then. Oh, such a hot mess. I also have this theory right now that Harvey's intelligence and his sadness have a direct correlation. And when he gets happy, he gets stupider.
Mm.
And when he gets sad, he gets smarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird. Also, so, so brave to be pushing a heavy transgender plot line just really unflinchingly. So ham-fisted and so poorly done and paced. I'm like, I am proud of you guys, and you guys suck at this. Like, bravo for trying, and boo for not doing it well.
The show is kind of like a kid who behaves really badly, like so badly you don't want to be around them, and yet they do it in such a charming way.
Well, and one of those kids that you're like, they're clearly intelligent.
Yeah.
If they would just focus themselves. Right. Like, this is absolutely my too smart for their own good 8-year-old with ADHD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, this is that show. Like, I really would love the show you want to make.
But it's
if we could get
though.
You the tools to make that show, that would be...
It's entertaining its own way. Because
there's glimpses. Yeah, yeah, there's like, yeah, yeah. I know what you're trying to do, and that show would be awesome.
But sometimes even the things that go off the rails are charming in their own way.
In a like child swearing kind of way. Like,
exactly,
it's cute when a 3-year-old says the F word. It's like that.
Exactly.
It's a little bit like the 2018 Robin Hood, which is now on Netflix, by the way, which you all should watch, because that thing is amazingly bad. Love that movie. It is so bad. I cannot stop giggling through that movie. They had to work for that. Oh, man. Yeah, so that's how that is. All right, I've been killing enough time to avoid the gaping maw that is the hat. Let's get in there.
Why not?
Premise of the show.
Did I ever tell you that I was a DJ for one night?
This does sound familiar. Was this in a discotheque outside of Montreal?
No. Nope. It was actually a news radio station, but they had music overnight. So, I think I was writing for the local newspaper already, and I thought I'd get into news radio too, a local news radio station, but you have to start at the bottom, and start at the bottom was playing music overnight. So like the overnight DJ was what I was this night.
Yes.
It was a disaster, and I hated it, and I didn't go back for anything.
You played music overnight, yeah, on a, I'm just going to guess, local
AM station, yeah.
news radio station mm-hmm. for one night.
Just one.
I cannot tell you how on brand that is for you. Like, I feel like we should call that pulling a William. Like, everything about that. That just, that absolutely, I do not have to adjust my mental picture of you at all.
I just wanted to be one
that
of their
piece
news
just slides in.
I just wanted to be one of their news
Oh, I'm
news
sure.
Guys, but they
I am
couldn't
confident.
Do it without DJing every night for probably, you know, several months until some new kid came along and then they, you know, he'd get the crap job and then I'd get to do the news. But there was no way I was going to do that for more than one night, man. It was terrible. I was awful as a night DJ. I mean, you know, being a night DJ, that's a lot of pressure.
Is it, though?
It really is. Because night DJs...
I mean,
because
you don't
want to
let down either of the listeners.
Well, it's not very many listeners, but they, you know, they're dedicated.
Like this?
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Exactly.
So
right.
It's like, I'm not going to do this again. Anyway.
All right. What do we got?
Beth.
Beth. Hey, Beth.
In apparently abridged...
Yeah, the hat thing's Beth is too wordy. I feel like this has been established over the years.
She asks this question: why is Cinco de Mayo big in the United States but not in Mexico? Also, Mexican Independence Day is September 16th.
Oh.
Oh, do people think Cinco de Mayo is Mexican Independence Day? Do people think?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. That's
Which here's the thing. A little bit, it kind of is, but not really. And like she says, the actual one is September 16th. I know a teeny bit about Cinco de Mayo. And it commemorates the Battle of the Puebla.
Yeah, some battle. Yeah.
Which basically kicks off independence one of the times. But a lot of different people conquered Mexico. In the French did it. I think the French did it twice. The Dutch did it. The Americans tried a few, like a bunch of things. But honestly, I don't know. I mean, what it is it's a minor holiday. And then the U.S. just went crazy.
Well, like, isn't it the same way that St. Patrick's Day is a slightly bigger deal in the United States than it is in Ireland, or?
I don't know. See, I don't really have a good ear to how St. Patrick's Day is outside of the U.S.
That's true. I might not know.
I feel like some stuff happens, but, like, Mexico does not give a fuck about Cinco de Mayo. And I love that in, I think I've talked about this before, one of the Cheech Marin movies, like, just after Cheech and Chong, when, like, they still thought he was bankable, so they let him make, like, several movies, and none of them did well. Might have been A Million to One, I'm not sure. But there's a scene where he and some other people, they were walking across the border, and they're being chased by Border Patrol, I assume, and so they end up getting in the sewers to hide or whatever, and they come out, and they're in the middle of a Cinco de Mayo parade. And it's him, who's the guy from East L.A. Maybe he was born in East L.A., that could have been that movie, too. And he brought these Mexican people with him, and they're like, what is this? And he's like, it's the Cinco de Mayo parade. And the Mexican people say, what's Cinco de Mayo? And he says, I don't know, but every year they have a parade. I saw that when I was a kid, and that was when it started to tip me off that something was going on. Kind of like how Mexico City has a Day of the Dead parade that started in 2016.
What?
I thought I'd tell you about this one.
No.
Mexico City has a Day of the Dead parade.
Sure.
It's been going on every year since 2016.
Oh, they didn't have parades.
No. Day of the Dead, you have a very quiet, basically like a picnic at your family's grave.
Right.
But in 2015, a movie came out called Spectre, a James Bond movie. And in that movie, there's a scene that's supposed to be in Mexico City and a chase scene between James Bond and a bad guy. And they end up getting split up in this giant Dia de los Muertes parade. Mm-hmm. that the film creators just assumed took place in Mexico City because Dia de los Muertes is a big deal in Mexico.
Sure it is, yeah.
Never happened. But Mexico City saw that movie and was like, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So they started doing it.
Maybe people would come here, and tourists and stuff.
Yep, so that is a very big parade, but it's only like 3 years old.
Hmm.
Because of that James Bond movie that assumed they already had it.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, the reason we have Cinco de Mayo in the U.S. is because some Americans thought it would be cool, and so now we do it.
White people like tequila.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I've always suspected, actually, that St. Patrick's Day is a different deal, maybe not a bigger deal, but a different kind of deal here in the United States than it is over there, but maybe I'm wrong.
Like... No, I mean, I don't know. I don't know for sure that it's a different deal or a bigger deal. But I will say here, it is. Okay, it is 98% about drinking to excess. It is 1% about wearing green shit, and 1% about eating corned beef.
It's 0% about being Irish.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact. There's quite a lot of merchandise that basically you can be fake Irish,
yeah, right.
Like Irish in spirit or whatever, like that kind of bullshit. It is all about drinking too much, and like that bugs me on a level deeper than like the commercialization of Christmas or whatever. I'm like, yeah, no, the alcoholism of St. Patrick's Day. And so I am... not only uninformed, but very uncomfortable with judging whether or not in Ireland it is that much about drinking to excess.
Yeah, right.
But I will tell you that I don't like it here, and if it is like that there, I would be sad if it was like that there. I hope it's not like that there.
Well, I suppose.
But also, St. Patrick, while being a super awesome guy to like make a movie about, wasn't super cool in my book, as he just, you know, turned Ireland Catholic. Yay!
Well,
but his backstory is pretty fucking awesome. Yeah, back then it was just...
Yeah,
there was only one flavor.
Well, the reason I say that is because there are some Protestants who celebrate him too, because they wouldn't be Protestants either if...
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know what their celebrations are like over there for St. Patrick's Day, or if they even make that big a deal out of it. Because there's lots of saints...
There are quite a few of those.
I mean, he might have been the one that brought Christianity to the island, and that's a big deal. But they venerate all kinds of saints over there, and not just the Catholic Irish. So I have no idea. Maybe someone who knows can tell us. But
if you know, tell us in the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And if you don't know, but you just want to be involved, go and tell us at themagicaltalkinghat.com, because we don't verify this shit later. I mean,
yeah,
okay,
usually.
I take it back. William often does.
Sometimes I do.
But if he finds out you're wrong, he's going to reply in a giant paragraph, and no one's going to read it. So you'll still win.
Yep, you'll still win.
So do that.
Everybody wins when William loses.
Thanks for your question, Beth.
Wow, you get to read one today.
I do.
That doesn't happen very
often. I feel so honored. Oh, Stu. Ah, Stu's funny.
Is he?
Stu got jokes.
Oh, does he? That's nice.
Not as bad as Andrew Talon. They are a little inside baseball, though. Did the hat fill out its timesheet? From Stu.
That's really about your work, honestly.
It really is about my work. I, long ago, when I first got the job I have now, or when I first got a variation of the job I have now. When I got my first full-time position at ACT, my predecessor had a duty that I took over, which was to send out email reminders every 2 weeks that it's time to submit your timesheet. This was a once-a-year job because we were on a piece of software for our email that you could put emails in the future and do recurring.
Mm-hmm.
So once a year... I would set up specific email and just make it recurring every 2 weeks for the year.
Sure.
And I just said, hey, remember your email? Remember your timesheet? Whatever. was not that interesting. But eventually we switched out of that program, and it was no longer automated. And I was like, this is fine. It's every 2 weeks. I'll just send out a thing. So I did. But as happens with things that aren't super fun in my life, I got bored.
Sure.
So I started getting creative in my emails.
Yeah, you've talked about this before. Yes.
And now they are a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've also talked about the fact there seems to be a direct, or not a direct, an inverse correlation between how much effort I put into one of these and how popular it is.
Yeah, the more off the cuff it is, the better.
Yes. Today's, I really felt bad about. Like, I really felt like I phoned it in. People loved it.
Mm.
All I was today was basically talking about people that don't turn in their timesheets on time and that you've tried really hard to get them to do it. You needed to use some tough love finally and sick a bear on them.
Mm.
And also that, unrelated, I would be selling bears out of the back of my car at 3 p.m.
Unrelated.
Yeah. But people were all over it. So, yeah, it's weird. So, no, the hat didn't fill out its timesheet. So, Stu, tomorrow I'm going to sell you a bear at the back of my car, and you sick it on the hat. And may God have mercy on your soul. All right. Draw another one.
Wow.
Right?
What is going on?
I don't know.
Something's happening.
There's something happening here. What is exactly clear? I feel like this is one of those songs that I don't know well enough, and I'm probably making a horrible statement by using it right in this part. Because it's like a Vietnam protest song or some bullshit.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so I apologize to all the Vietnam vets that listen.
This is from Azure Talon.
Oh, dear.
If you fell into an upholstery machine, how long would it take you to be fully recovered?
Oh, I hate you so much.
I mean, probably not very long, right? A few seconds? Unless you just gummed up the works, then I suppose you wouldn't even get recovered.
I mean, is an upholstery machine a thing?
I don't even know if it is.
Like,
whenever I've seen anyone doing upholstery, it's not like they don't put something in a machine. They, you know,
yeah,
they sew it over themselves.
I have seen,
like, a handheld thing maybe helps them out.
A video. I don't remember what the context was. I think it was some sort of YouTube compilation of, like, videos that you would laugh at or something. I don't know. But it was a hay baling machine that, you know, goes down the things it spits out.
Yeah.
And this dude was there. And he took off all his clothes except his underpants, and he jumped in the chute.
Oh.
And he came out like his torso was a hay bale.
I mean, there was a hay bale around his
torso? Essentially, yes.
Oh.
But, like, his arms and legs, and he was fine. He was just laying there.
I mean, I guess.
And it was a low enough quality video that I do not think there was any video trickery involved. Because I don't...
A square bale, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, because that's what we used, a square baler, and I mean, I would never have gotten in it, but I don't know what would have happened if you'd gotten in it.
I never even
thought about it.
In my mind, this isn't, like, just someone was stupid and decided to try it. In my mind, there was an accident, and somebody fell in, and as everyone prepared to mourn, poor Brad, he came out the other side, and they were like, holy shit, this is all we're going to do from now on. I didn't know that could work.
Hmm.
And then that's what they did. But yeah, I did see that one time.
I mean, I'm trying to think.
So he was going to jump in the chute, but then he bailed. Get it?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to compete on Azure Talon's level.
So you didn't really see a video that did this? You just...
No, I did!
I just don't think that would work, honestly.
Maybe there's... Maybe. it was the hollowed out shell of a baler and they had some bales?
Maybe. Because I can't, I mean, you know, when you have that.
It was on a farm of a couple thousand acres.
Yeah. When you have equipment like that, you generally know how it works. And off the top of my head, I don't really remember. But hay bales are pretty dense, you know. They're pretty heavy. So, but that doesn't mean that, I mean, it would have to compress the straw.
Well, it's got to have a sensor, though. So the pressure is based on the resistance. So in theory, you're pushing against human flesh, and it's going to give it more resistance. So it's like, okay, we've compacted it enough.
Yeah, it would be a mechanical thing.
Yeah.
Spring-loaded thing. You're right. You're right.
But I would think it would just cut it. I wouldn't think, I mean, I think it would just stop it. I wouldn't think it would just say, okay, that's a good bale. But I saw it. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I could remember more about how they worked. Because, I mean,
you just go to YouTube tonight, check it out, and then you'll tell us on the blog.
We baled hay all the time.
If you fell into a hay baler, tell us about it at the blog, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And if you'd like to stop hearing from Agitalin, write us more questions yourself. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com.
I listened to episode 10 today.
Why?
Episode 10 would be the episode that was around the same time as this episode.
But 8 years ago.
8 years ago.
All right. How were we?
Good, actually.
So not like now.
Yeah. A lot better than now.
Jesus. Really?
Yeah, we actually got worse.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It's mostly my fault, though.
All right.
I was a little more into it, I think.
And that was bad?
No, it was good.
Oh, sorry, it was good back then.
Yeah.
So you're not into it now?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
I mean, I thought it was the same as always.
But this episode is ending.
But I'm listening, and you were the same, and it was
really
yeah, and it was good. It was good.
Because I got to be honest, I checked out about year three.
No, you were very funny, but I mean, I was saying things that were actually kind of funny too. Like I was into it, and now I don't think I say anything funny. It's like, and I don't feel like it's because I'm not into it, but I sounded more like I was into it in episode 10 than I sound when I listen now.
You've given up on us.
I must ask.
Don't give up on us, William.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I was funny. I'm saying my efforts at being funny were like there. Not like now where it's like I just read questions and I answer them.
You're just Eeyore.
Yeah, you crack jokes and I just show up and bore people. And I mean, I think I thought that's the way it always was, but it wasn't really. I put in a lot more effort.
I have known you to crack jokes. I never remember them fondly. So, I mean, I don't. Maybe other people need to evaluate episode 10.
I think.
And see.
I think of. I Well, never mind.
I want to find. I don't remember the number of the funnel cake episode.
I don't remember it either. I don't know. It was early. I mean, it was in the first year, surely.
Yeah.
But I don't.
That was popular, and then the dead person in a chair at McGregor's.
Oh, come on. No, that was terrible.
No, but that one was funny because you stumbled into it.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't send out to tell. That was incident. Oh, yeah, and that guy died.
I was talking about.
What?
I was talking about how.
Make an ass out of you and Jim McGregor.
Was I?
Well, I don't know. I've talked about that a lot.
I thought I was talking about how I seemed like I was bad luck.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I worked this place, and this happened, and I worked this place, and then in this place, the guy died. Because it happened. And you thought it was so funny.
It was hilarious.
It wasn't funny, though. This guy died.
I still don't
know why you think that's funny.
Again, incredibly on brand.
No, but yeah, bad things happened in a lot of places I worked. Including the last place, really, though that was delayed.
Yeah, I really don't feel like you being there is why that entire call center closed down.
Well, I don't know.
I mean,
it was in the works for a long time. I saw it coming a long ways off.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, it just kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed.
I think it might be because they still actually needed us. Because even after it closed down, in certain departments, they hired, they were like, you can keep working from home for this amount of time because we need you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. And on that note, people, go back and listen to episode 10 and then compare and contrast.
I thought it was pretty good.
At the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. And apparently we were better back then, so, I mean.
I was better. You were the same.
If I could save time in a bottle.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.